Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a very special Money in the Bank preview edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be primarily discussing this Saturday's Money in the Bank premium live event and giving you our predictions and the latest news at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I guess everybody's big question going into Money in the Bank is who's going to win the men's Money in the Bank ladder match, and we're going to get to that. I wanted to start first with a couple of pieces of news. The first piece is that I don't know if anybody realizes, but apparently at the AEW scrum after Forbidden Door, Chris Jericho, I guess, hit a water bottle with Sting's ball bat, sending it flying into the audience, and it struck a man who was in attendance at the scrum and actually cut him above his eye. It was a close personal friend of Tony Khan's. That's never a good thing. But all is well. Both Tony Khan and Chris Jericho in private apologized to the guy, and the guy was not seriously injured. He did get himself cleaned up and went back to the scrum. So all is good, and the lesson learned here is in pro wrestling, keep your eye on the ball. You never really know exactly what's going to happen at any given time, and wrestling is unpredictable. So do I blame Jericho for this? No, you know, listen, it's a tiny little bit reckless. I suppose it is, but again, everybody at that scrum knows the deal. Keep your eye on the ball. No huge calamity here. Not like last scrum, right? Anyway, the next thing is that we were looking down the barrel of a couple of big returns, apparently, and a lot of people feel that Randy Orton may actually make an appearance. I'd be a little bit shocked if he makes an appearance in the UK. Think after you've come off this kind of surgery and everything, you might want to avoid airplanes for a while, but maybe he will. Now, certainly Drew McIntyre is going to be there. Certainly they're not keeping Drew McIntyre off this card in the UK, but I would be surprised if Randy Orton showed up. Now, I'm not surprised if he shows up once they get back to stateside. I've heard that he is ready to go, limited, but ready to go. And this is probably going to be Randy Orton's last big run. So it'll be very interesting to see exactly what they do with him. I wouldn't, if I were a big RK-Bro fan, I wouldn't count on that happening. I think that ship has sailed. I don't think they want that back. Even though, to be honest with you, it would be a great way to protect Randy Orton for a while. Limited ring work. Very limited ring work. Matt Riddle could handle most of it. Orton could cut a lot of the promos with him, come in and I'll do a minute or two in each match. It would protect them. It would certainly protect them. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Anyway, let's get right to Money in the Bank because this is going to prove to be interesting. I heard a conversation, a rather long conversation with L.A. Knight. And it was very, very interesting to listen to. He had said that the WWE basically had fired him. He thought he was done. He heard he was finishing up. And that Triple H had said, no, we're going to find something else to do after the Maximum Male Models thing. So this is how close L.A. Knight was to being released from the WWE. Now it's come full circle, and he was asked directly, you know, what do you think of the crowd response? And he said, well, you know, at first, I really felt like the first time I noticed it, I wasn't that far away from my hometown. And I thought, well, people probably know I, you know, live a reasonably close distance to here, so I'm sort of a hometown boy. But then he said, you know, it was one after the other, and certainly even in Saudi Arabia, getting that kind of response. And he said, and then I realized, you know, something is going on. He was asked directly if he thought this was his time to win Money in the Bank. And he said, well, you know, let me get there first. Who knows? Who knows? There's a lot of good quality people in it, and talking about who he might cash in on. And again, he said, well, let me get there first. I'm not there yet. He was also asked directly if he was going to bring back the dummy thing. And he said, some people want it, but maybe some people don't. I think that is a direct reference to Vince McMahon or the powers that be, who probably don't want it because they don't own it, I guess. Now, he said something that I don't believe. He said, a lot of this was just generic. You know, I never really went out and said something because I planned to say it. Everything just kind of flowed out of me, and that's where the dummy thing came from. That I don't believe. I don't believe that for a heartbeat. But in the greater scheme of things, folks, he is, in fact, the favorite to win Money in the Bank. And that's saying something from a guy who's really not done very much since he came here. He has organically gotten over with the fans to the point where most fans, I think, are going to be disappointed if LA Knight does not win that Money in the Bank briefcase. Now, there's an argument to be had that you could give it to Damian Priest. I understand that. But I don't think it's a more successful outcome than giving it to LA Knight. You've purposely kept LA Knight in a heel gimmick. While you're obviously attempting to turn him face, I think you're doing the same thing with Damian Priest. But Damian Priest, you know, his gimmick is the type of guy who probably wouldn't, you know, be as sneaky and as cunning and as cagey about cashing in as a guy like LA Knight. So I do think he is actually probably the good choice. Whether he'll win or not, I do not know. But I think he's a good choice. And I think that even he is a little bit shocked at the crowd response he's been getting. So it'll be very interesting to see what the WWE does with him. Okay, let's start our predictions here. And let's start with Cody Rhodes versus Dominic Mysterio. Because Dominic's been red hot as far as his heat is concerned. He's probably the number one heel. Next to maybe Roman Reigns, but I mean, even Roman Reigns they let talk. Crowd doesn't even let him talk. So I think he is the number one heel. Cody Rhodes is pushing to be the number one face. Very difficult. This is a very difficult one. I could see this going either way and having a successful outcome. But if Dominic Mysterio gets the win, it will be because of Brock Lesnar. I don't see Dominic Mysterio getting a clean win or even a Rhea Ripley-aided win over Cody Rhodes. Now, we could do this one of two ways. Brock Lesnar could come down and just literally get Dominic Mysterio disqualified. Just jump in the ring and start beating the hell out of Cody Rhodes. That could definitely happen. We could also see Brock Lesnar get in the ring and literally F5 Dominic Mysterio, purposely getting Cody Rhodes disqualified and then beating the hell out of Cody Rhodes. Or we could just see a brawl on the outside leading to a countout, and Dominic Mysterio wins by countout. There are choices here. If indeed Brock Lesnar is going to interfere. I'm going to say that that's exactly what's going to happen. I cannot see them not using this match to further the Brock Lesnar, the Brock Lesnar feud with Cody Rhodes. So I'm going to say that Dominic Mysterio wins this, but he wins this as a result of Brock Lesnar's interference, Mike.
I think so too, but I also think This is a pay-per-view. I know there's a particular person that they said they didn't want back in the Federation, but this is a perfect time to have Brandy show up. You know, I mean, I mean, we both agree that Rhea Ripley probably isn't going to have anything to do with this. When she'll be out there, don't get me wrong, but she's not going to lead to Dominic beating or, you know, him or Cody being disqualified or whatever. He's not going to, she's not going to, in other words, she's not going to be a major factor in this match. I agree. It's going to be Brock Lesnar. It's one of those situations that you just put forward.
We can only hope. Now, listen, I've met Brandi Rhodes, and she seems to be a delightful person, a very nice person, very genuine person, but you cannot put her in this situation. And the reason you can't put her in this situation is no one in their right mind would ever believe that Brandi Rhodes had a chance in hell of even staying in the ring for 3 minutes with Rhea Ripley. No one's buying it. And if you try to force that down our throats after you have pushed Rhea Ripley as being so dominant, fans are going to reject it. And you're going to end up with Brandi Rhodes getting booed. And if that's not what you want, don't even think about it. Do not even think about it. It won't work. Now, it might work if she just came out there and surprised Rhea Ripley and, you know, swung a chair at her or something, but then where does this lead? Where's the payoff? A Brandi Rhodes-Rhea Ripley match to do what? To do what? To distract from the Rhea Ripley being so dominant thing that she can barely handle Brandi Rhodes, who, you know, isn't really ready to be in the ring full time. Still. I'm against that. I'm totally against that. So I hope that does not happen. But Todd, I do think somehow Brock Lesnar is going to play a huge role in who wins this match. Not sure whether he's going to get Dominic disqualified by simply attacking Cody, or if he's going to purposely attack Dominic to get Cody disqualified, or if they're going to be just be on the outside. I don't know exactly which direction they're going to go. But I figure that Brock Lesnar is going to figure in this decision.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with Brock Lesnar and everything. And Cody Rhodes get counted out or get disqualified or anything that won't hurt Cody Rhodes not getting pinned. And well, like you said, it's going to be a predictable match there.
We'll see how predictable it is, but if I were booking it, I guess I would have Brock Lesnar slide into the ring, make it look like he's going to attack Cody. Cody be prepared for the attack, and then he just turns around and nails Dominic. Dominic goes flying out of the ring, Rhea Ripley looks shocked, and then they realize, wait a minute, that's it. Cody's disqualified. And then he attacks Cody. And they just simply go with their disqualification victory and allow Brock Lesnar to beat up Cody for a bit, and there you go. There you have your extension of the feud. I guess that would be the best thing to do. Dominic gets the win in a horrible way. Brock doesn't really do much to Dominic, just, you know, give him a punch. Punch to the head. That's it. That's enough. I don't think anything more than that's really necessary. I'm not really invested in this feud anyway. If you want me to be honest with you, I think this feud has set Cody Rhodes back a little bit. When you're feuding with Brock Lesnar, even if you win, even if you ultimately win, everything from there is a little bit anticlimactic. Where do you go from here? Who are you going to start a feud with next? Right? If you've beaten Brock Lesnar, then certainly you've went to the top of the mountain. So now you've only really got the champions, and you're not involved in the Money in the Bank match. That doesn't mean you can't have a title shot, but it's just, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the way they're handling Cody at the moment. The fans are definitely behind him, but you gotta be very careful. Got to be very careful here, because his next feud, which obviously when the Brock Lesnar feud is over, he's got to come into something. his next feud's really got to matter. You can't go from Brock Lesnar to The Miz. You can't even go from Brock Lesnar to Dominic. You really can't. So this is why I say it may not be in his best interest, this feud in general. So I hope they wrap it up and they have something major in mind. Because otherwise, I think this could do some damage to Cody Rhodes. And he's on the cusp of being your top face. I mean, the fans are really into him. There's no question about that. Okay, let's go with Asuka versus Charlotte Flair. The problem I foresee with this match is this. Charlotte Flair has the same pattern and has had the same pattern for years. She wins the title. She loses the title, goes away for 3 months or so, comes back and instantly wins the title. Stays around for a few months, loses the title, goes away for 3 months or so, comes back, instantly wins the title. It's happened 3 or 4 times. There's an obvious push to make her the, you know, top number of title holder. And I think they're going to do it again. Quite frankly, I think they're going to do it again. I think they gave Asuka that title so they could give it to Charlotte Flair. That's exactly what I think they've done. I think Charlotte Flair will win this, add one more to her title reign, and I would not be surprised if right after SummerSlam she loses it and goes away for 3 months again. I don't think this is particularly endearing Charlotte Flair to the fans, because her whole storyline is always extraordinarily predictable. So, Mike, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, her story thing is predictable, you know, and that's the point. And look, if you want to be unpredictable, if you're the WWE, I know you want Charlotte to become 16, 17 time whatever champion, but if you want to be unpredictable, keep the title around Asuka, thus setting up Asuka and Becky, and there you go. Now, you can have Charlotte win the other title or whatever, but, you know, whatever. Oh, and by the way, I was watching a recent edition of, I believe it was the Saturday show last week, and they had Andrade on there, and Andrade, guess what? Used Charlotte's finisher.
Yeah, I believe I saw that. Derek in the chat room is asking, why is Dominic a horrible person to feud with after Brock Lesnar? I'll tell you why. Because Dominic Mysterio's gimmick is the following. I'm a scared kid who is acting brave because I got backup. I'm not really ready to hang with the big boys, and Rhea Ripley has to interfere for me to win, and so do the rest of the Judgment Day. Have to interfere for me to win. Not really a serious top guy. I'm just a guy you hate. If you can beat Brock Lesnar, then you should have no problem beating Dominic Mysterio. That's why. Dominic can be as hated as he wants to be. He has to have credibility. The next guy that Cody Rhodes faces has to have equal or more credibility than Brock Lesnar. That's why it's hard to feud with Brock Lesnar and come off of it and say, okay, now I'm getting into a more intense feud with someone, because who has more credibility? Maybe Roman Reigns, maybe Seth Rollins, that's it. Right? Certainly not Dominic. See, Dominic is one of those heels who has no credibility. Dominic is a much more hated version of The Miz. He's just a... He gets lucky with most of his wins. He's kind of pampered and sheltered, and he's a cheater, but he's not brave. He's not strong. He's not tough. He thinks he's all those things, but he's not any of them. That's a problem. Especially if you've just beaten Brock Lesnar in some kind of a bull rope or dog collar match, which I hear is what's going to be happening. So if you can beat Brock Lesnar in a bull rope or a dog collar match, you can't beat Dominic Mysterio? See, that's the problem. the gimmick with Dominic Mysterio is he keeps getting lucky, he keeps winning thanks to interference, he keeps getting his ego boosted. Who's the first person who's really going to knock him on his ass? Well, it was Ray, and then he was able to recover from that. But now the next loss is going to be crucial. And it should come much later down the road. Much later. And I'm hearing they want Dominic Mysterio possibly for SummerSlam against Seth Rollins. So how in the world do you win a feud with Dominic Mysterio if you're Cody Rhodes, if you're going to set up Dominic Mysterio to face Seth Rollins for a title? Especially when Cody Rhodes has just beaten Brock Lesnar. That's an issue. It's a big issue. This is why a lot of people, when they're done with their feud with Brock Lesnar, unless you were the champion, see, if you're the champion and Brock Lesnar's chasing the title and you beat Brock Lesnar as the champion, that's fine because you've just defended against one of the top guys, and that's fine. Your next feud is really just based on I'm trying to hold on to my title. But when you're not a champion and your next feud has to be based on something other than that, what are we supposed to believe? Well, Cody Rhodes is so tough that in a bull rope or a dog collar match with Brock Lesnar, Brock Lesnar cannot overcome him. But pampered, punk-ass, scaredy-cat Dominic Mysterio beat him. That doesn't fly. It just doesn't fly. You know, that would be like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens saying, we beat the Usos and won the belt. And now we're going to take on the Viking Raiders, but boy, we can't beat them. Well, you wouldn't even think that that's even in the universe, right? You'd say, well, my God, they've beaten the Usos, so Viking Raiders aren't going to be any threat, right? So this is the problem. Dominic is the number one heel, but he's not gotten any credibility. You haven't given him any credibility. I hope they start to give him some credibility. He's going to have to get a couple of wins, and he's going to have to get a couple of wins on his own, where Rhea Ripley isn't directly involved in the outcome, so that you can say, well, okay, he can win on his own. He is, in fact, as tough as he says he is. See, that was always Seth Rollins' thing. Seth Rollins was getting help from J&J Security, and he was getting help from this, and he was getting help from that. But deep down inside, you knew Seth Rollins can win on his own. He has all the talent in the world, and he could win on his own. He just chooses not to. Same way with Ric Flair. Ric Flair always used to get some help and things like that, but you knew deep down inside, Ric Flair could win on his own if he wants to. We don't know that about Dominic Mysterio. So that's why. That's exactly why. Anyway, let's go to the Intercontinental Championship match, Gunther versus Matt Riddle. If you're ever going to see a time when Randy Orton comes back, it could be this. If Matt Riddle loses and then is getting double or triple teamed, you may indeed see Randy Orton come back and start stunning people, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think that what we're going to see here is a pretty dominant victory for Gunther. They are really, really building Gunther up to be something big. Now, they do have themselves a bit of a problem. I know they want this title, this Intercontinental Championship, gone from him because they want him to go for a major championship. And they don't know how to get it away from him. I'd given you the perfect solution, put him in the Money in the Bank ladder match and have him advocate the title and say, I'm just giving it up. I've beaten everybody that's worthy of challenging for it, and now I want the big title. They didn't do that. I don't see Matt Riddle coming close to winning this. I don't see the WWE trusting him enough with a belt at this point. So I think Gunther will win pretty handily, Todd. I think this is going to be one of those things that cements Gunther as who can possibly beat him. He's already gotten over Sami Zayn. He's gotten over Kevin Owens. Those are the tag team champions. Now he's going to go over Matt Riddle. He's going over Sheamus. He's going over Drew McIntyre. He's basically going over most of this roster, and I don't see them having let him get all of those victories just to drop to Matt Riddle.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said with Gunther. And when he became the Intercontinental Champion, he put prestigious back in that championship belt. Like back in the old back in the day when people held that title.
yeah, he's done a good job so far. He's done a good job. Now we just got to see what the future holds for him. I know they want more than the Intercontinental Championship to be in his future, Mike. So this is where this is, dominance has got to really begin.
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, I'm hearing you. We're waiting for your comment.
Oh, yeah, okay. So, yeah, this is where it's got to begin. And look, he cannot – if you're not going to get it off of him now, the title off of Gunther now, then he's – I don't know who else he's going to fight. And it's not going to be – Dominic's not going to do it because, he's not that type of guy. He's not one of these type of guys that's a hard-hitting guy. Now, granted, we do know for a fact that at some point they do want Gunther and Lesnar, right? But for that,
that's what they want. Yeah.
He cannot have that title around his waist. So how did he get the title around off of? Barring your scenario, how did they get the title off of Gunther's waist?
They're going to have to do some kind of thing like a last man standing where he doesn't get pinned or submitted, or if you get disqualified, you lose the title type thing. That's the only thing I can think of. But I do know that they want Seth Rollins and Dominic Mysterio at WrestleMania. They've already sowed the seeds of it with Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. Remember, Becky Lynch confronting Rhea Ripley, saying, you better hope I don't pull down that Money in the Bank briefcase. And Rhea Ripley not looking confident, looking very worried about it. So I can foresee Seth Rollins getting in a feud with Dominic Mysterio, Rhea Ripley interfering on a regular basis with their matches or their interactions, and having finally Becky Lynch have enough of it and come down and light into Rhea Ripley, which the crowd is going to pop huge for. And there you've got your feud. So I do see that happening. And because I see that happening, once again, you've got to make Cody Rhodes look strong, and you can't take any heat away from Dominic. So that's why I know for a fact that we're going to see Brock Lesnar interfere in this match and cause one or the other person to be disqualified or a victory or whatever, because it's the only ending that makes them both still look reasonably strong. If Cody Rhodes pins Dominic Mysterio, how the hell are you going to get to Seth Rollins, Dominic Mysterio? You don't. If Dominic Mysterio pins Cody Rhodes, how the hell do you get to Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar in a bull rope match or whatever they're going to do? You don't. So this is going to be one of those non-endings. There's no question in my mind it's going to be one of those screw job endings. Women's Tag Team Championship, Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler versus Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. I'm going to tell you right now, if they give the belt back to Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan, I'm done with the Women's Division Tag Team. I'm done with it. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler are actually adding credibility to this. If you want Liv Morgan to go out on her own, and you want Raquel Rodriguez to go out on her own, which appears as that's exactly what you want, turn Liv Morgan during this match. Turn Liv Morgan back to that psychopathic whatever that turns on Raquel Rodriguez. Give her a good feud with Liv Morgan. It's a hell of a lot better. You've got enough tag teams now. You don't need Liv Morgan or Raquel Rodriguez. You've just brought up two from NXT, your two top women's teams from NXT. You have other teams now. There is actually a women's tag team division. You don't need these two. This would be the best thing for all of them involved. So I'm going to say Rousey and Baszler retain this, Mike.
I think so, too. And frankly, if you take Ronda at her word, and I kind of do, she did say she wants to help make this a legitimate division, didn't she?
She did. The only thing that worries me about that is there's strong rumors that now that they've merged with Endeavor, that Ronda Rousey is considering returning to the Octagon. And if that's true, she's not going to do it with a WWE women's tag team built around her waist. It's not going to happen. So that's the only caveat I want to place on this. If that story is true and she's going to start going into training to go back and do another UFC run, then maybe you're going to hand it to Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. There is zero chemistry there. I want everybody to understand that. Raquel Rodriguez has a lot of charisma and chemistry with people. So does Liv Morgan at times, but not with each other. They don't look like their friends. They don't act like their friends. They don't gel. They don't gel. So I wouldn't do it, but we'll see what happens, Todd. What's your thoughts?
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler just winning the tag team, unifying the WWE women's tag team and the NXT tag team women's titles into one. And they should keep, they retain the belts, just bring some prestigious back and help go down to NXT, help with the talent down there too, and have like be had the titles before all three shows.
Yeah, they're well on their way to doing that, so let's hope that continues. All right, let's pick the winner of the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Becky Lynch climbing up that ladder and holding that briefcase pretty much guarantees it's not going to happen. Certainly it's not going to be Trish Stratus. It's certainly not going to be. I do not see any scenario by which Bayley could do it, and I don't know why you would give it to Zelina Vega. Zelina Vega's already had a title shot, and she got slaughtered by Rhea Ripley in Saudi Arabia. I don't see it. I think Io Sky is winning this. I really do. I think Io Sky is winning this. The only thing is, if Io Sky wins this, I almost think that Charlotte's not winning. If Io Sky, let's put it this way. If you're watching the event and the women's Money in the Bank ladder match comes before that title defense and Io Sky wins, Charlotte's not winning the title. Bianca Belair will interfere. Bianca Belair will stop Charlotte from winning, and they'll do some kind of a three-way dance at a different, maybe at SummerSlam. Because I know they want Io Sky and Asuka. So if Io Sky gets that that briefcase, it's Asuka's keeping the belt. I do think that Io Sky is going to win it. And I did predict that Asuka would lose it, but I'll tell you the truth. I can't see a scenario by which Io Sky is going to cash in on Charlotte. Who cares? Or Io Sky is going to cash in on Rhea Ripley? Nah, it's not going to happen. So if Io does pull that down, I think somehow Asuka is going to retain, at least temporarily retain, and they'll give Charlotte Flair a bigger platform later to win. It's the only thing I can think of. So it'll be interesting because it kind of depends on who wins this, Mike, in my opinion, who's going to take that match between Asuka and Charlotte Flair.
Right, and that's the thing. Now, I still think, yeah, you say, you know, you say Becky's not going to win it, but it would kind of make sense because that would touch off, you could see the end for it, right? You could see that touching off the whole situation with Dominic and Seth Rollins, and because we've got pressure coming towards Rhea Ripley, right? So yeah,
but it's bad pressure because then it's going to be like, well, Becky's, you know, waiting to Rhea's weakest moment to cash it in. I've always said the Money in the Bank briefcase is a heel angle. And I don't know if you want Becky Lynch to be the person that's cashing it in. Becky Lynch is the kind of person that get in your face and say, I want a title shot. I can take it from you at your strongest. You sort of want somebody that's going to say, I don't mind picking the bones. But I don't think I don't think that'll be Becky. Just don't. Who do you think is going to win this Money in the Bank, Women's Money in the Bank ladder match, Todd?
I'm going to go with Io Sky. Like you said, they're saving this for her and Asuka to go at it over that WWE Women's Championship belt.
I mean, I hope they do, because I think that would be an outstanding match. Outstanding match. And I think they're trying to brew up something between Bianca Belair and Charlotte. Bianca Belair having really hard feelings about Charlotte, just getting everything handed to her and whatever. I think they're probably moving in that direction. So maybe I'm rethinking my pick. I don't know if Charlotte wins this title this pay-per-view. Somehow Bianca Belair may very well figure into this. You remember, she said, well, I'm going to have to do things my way then, to Adam Pearce, right? Maybe her way is making sure Charlotte doesn't win. I don't know. I don't know where they're going with it. I know this. If you're going to try to turn Bianca Belair heel, I don't think you should do it on Charlotte. Because I don't think Charlotte is beloved enough to have people say, oh, boo, boo on Bianca Belair. I think some people would say, oh, she's absolutely correct. Charlotte gets everything handed to her. We're sick of it too. You go. You don't want that. So we'll see. That could be very, very interesting to see how they handle this. All right, let's go on to let's go to the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. I'll tell you, folks, I'm looking at this list. Ricochet's now winning. Shinsuke Nakamura hasn't even been able to pin Ricochet. You think he's going to have a Money in the Bank briefcase match? No way. Santos Escobar is not over. There's absolutely no way in the world he's winning it. Butch is not winning it. Even though, you know, it's in the UK, he's going to be the big favorite, but he's not winning it. Logan Paul's also not winning it. I'll tell you why Logan Paul's not winning it, because he's had the title shots. He's faced Roman Reigns and failed. He's faced Seth Rollins and failed. We don't need to see round three of it. So Logan Paul will not win it. That brings it down to LA Knight and Damian Priest. I don't think they're going to hand. I just don't think they're going to hand it to Damian Priest. I know a lot of people have said, well, they're very high on him and they want to push him, and he'd be a very, very, very intimidating factor with the briefcase coming down to menace people. Yeah, he would. But not like LA Knight. Can you imagine the skits you can pull? Can you imagine the roar of the crowd? LA Knight has gotten over like nobody I have seen organically since probably Daniel Bryan. Remember when Daniel Bryan just sort of organically got over, and it was like, and Becky Lynch did too, but those were two people who the fans just said, no, we're getting you over and that's it. I mean, Cesaro, they started to do that with to an extent, but the WWE squashed it. I don't think the WWE is going to squash this. LA Knight in that interview said, they told me they wanted me to just be a manager because of my age. And when I said I didn't want to be a manager, they were on the verge of releasing me until Triple H said, well, let's try, you know, use you here or there and see what ends up happening. And the crowd, I think, really shocked Triple H and Vince McMahon. I don't think they ever thought in a million years that a guy like LA Knight, who they're just sending out there to lose, would ever get over like this. The reason he's getting over, and he's sort of acknowledging that this is the reason he's getting over, is because the fans are itching for some old school wrestling. This is a guy who's reminiscent of a Roddy Piper or a Rock or a whatever, you know? And the fans miss that. We don't have somebody like that. This is the first guy who can come out and literally take the microphone and just destroy you for a very long time. Very long time. Extremely entertaining, extremely charismatic. Yes, he's a little bit older, but he is in phenomenal shape. So if you say, well, LA Knight's in his early 40s, yeah, well, that's like most people in their early 30s. He's got probably a good 5 years. Look at AJ Styles, same way, right? Randy Orton. He's banged up, but you're still going to bring him back as a big name. Now, the argument is, well, but Randy Orton's already established. AJ Styles is already established. LA Knight is somewhat established. Let him run with this. Let him run with this. You have a no-lose situation here. As long as he's healthy and he can wrestle at a top capacity, you've got a great worker and a great talker. When he no longer can do that, you still have the great talker. You have a guy who could be a manager. You have a guy who could be a commentator. Many things he could contribute. Occasional wrestler. So if I were the WWE, I would give this to LA Knight. I think he's the best guy to have this briefcase because I think it's going to lead to so much fun interaction. Whereas Damian Priest, I don't think it would. Yeah, he'd be menacing coming down with a briefcase, but he wouldn't be fun. And I think LA Knight will be fun. So I'm going to pick LA Knight. I think if they're keeping him around, Mike, they must know that his popularity is growing quick, and they must know they've got to capitalize on it quick because he doesn't have 15 more years in the business.
Absolutely. And think about this. You know, the whole name of dummies thing, you know, they would be idiots not to use that, right?
I agree.
And think about this. Think about them possibly using that. He gets the championship. Think about them possibly using that against, oh, I don't know, Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. And think about the promos that could be done between Paul Heyman and LA Knight.
I know. You know, they indicated that on his interview. They said, well, let's just say you did win it. Who would you be more likely to cash in on? And he said, well, I guess I have to get there first, obviously, but I guess if I did win it, it would be nice to cash it in and break somebody's, you know, record, be the guy who broke one of the records. So he's talking about Roman Reigns. But Seth Rollins just barely won the thing. I do think that would be the best option. But he put a caveat on that and said, well, you know, you can go for any title. And we've got the NXT title. We've got the Intercontinental and the U.S. title. Those are both very lucrative titles. They might go that direction, too. LA Knight is so popular that they might figure, well, chasing the championship is better than, you know, or maybe being a minor champion first is better than chasing it and losing. Because I don't see LA Knight winning against Roman Reigns. So that could be a factor. If he's right away trying to cash in that and then, you know, and he loses, that's not good, right? You want to get the most out of him you can. You want to squeeze as much juice out of the orange as you can. But, again, he said, well, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go back to that dummy thing. And the guy told him flat out that, you know, the fans want it, right? And he said, well, I think some do, but, yeah, you know, some don't. And when he said some don't, my indication is he means the people in the back don't. And he said, maybe if it happened organically, just go out there and test it. Just go out there and just call somebody a dummy once. And you'll hear what happens in the audience, and then the WWE will hear what happens in the audience, and you will get a huge reaction, and the WWE will realize we are missing out on tons of merchandise. He said, I got a yeah shirt coming out, but nobody's just going to wear a shirt that says yeah. Because, you know, it doesn't say anything if you're not a wrestling fan. You're just walking around on a street with a shirt that says yeah, and maybe has his name down there somewhere. That's not that great. If you're a wrestling fan, fine. But, you know, a lot of these shirts, you want them to be cool even to people who aren't wrestling fans. If you have put a shirt that said Namer of Dummies, I don't think you could print enough of them. I really don't. It was a great gimmick. Did it get annoying because he used it too much? Yes. Don't use it too much. But use it. Absolutely use it. You can use both. You can use the yeah and the Namer of Dummies thing, you know. He said this came from an accident. He said when I was training in NXT, the trainer would tell me, you know what I mean? And I'd say, yeah. Yeah. And he'd say, and we're going to do this, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he said, and then finally, like, the trainer was sort of taking it like I was being a wise guy. Like I was saying, yeah, of course, you know, you're not teaching me anything. So he said, then I would just, you know, people would say that to me when I would come back. They'd be like, yeah, to just annoy me. So he said, then I started saying it back, and then it became that. So I thought that was funny. But he did use the dummy yeah thing before, so that's interesting. I don't know. I don't know where this goes, but that's who I'd give it to, Todd. What's your thoughts?
Oh, you're absolutely right, Gail. Like you said, if you get LA Knight to do that dummy thing, you gotta get the button. You gotta get that button that says dummy. Yeah, I was watching an old promo with him and James Storm in the middle of the ring.
I forgot the dummy button. What a great gimmick! I forgot the dummy button. Yeah, that was great. That probably was the best gimmick that was wasted in wrestling history. If that had been WWE in its prime, with that dummy button thing, you couldn't have printed enough T-shirts. You just couldn't have. Mike, I think, you know, this is a guy who could really catch fire and carry him for a year or two.
I think so, too, and that's the thing. I mean, we know that Roman wants time off. We know he's been wanting time off for a while now. He hasn't been able to get it because he's just – that whole thing has been so hot. And, he probably would be a transitional champion, probably until Roman gets back or maybe finds somebody else. But who knows with this thing? I mean, maybe they don't have anybody else. Maybe they wouldn't have anybody else if they decide to put – because the guy, I mean, he's popular now. Imagine him with his stick, with the belt around his waist.
Yeah, if you put the belt on him, it would be kind of interesting to see how – because he'd always sort of be the underdog in almost every single title defense. That would be interesting. Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus the Usos. I know a lot of people are saying this is the Usos' moment. I think there's a lot more of this story to tell. And if the Usos win right now, I think the story's over. Now, some people could argue, well, what happens if Jay pins Roman and then Roman and Jay go for the, you know, the title or something? Yeah, I guess. But I think there's a lot more of the story to tell. And I think it's too early to have the Usos get their ultimate victory. I think they're going to get screwed out of it somehow. I'm gonna say Roman and Solo win this. I know that's unpopular, and it's probably, you know, that's probably the underdog thing to happen. But because people are saying, no, it's going to be Solo's going to take the pin, not Roman. Or some people are saying, no, you're right, so Roman's going to get pinned by either Jimmy or Jay that leads to a solo match with them for a title. I could see it happening, but I just think that's happening real quick. I think somehow, by hook or crook, Roman Reigns and Solo are going to eke themselves out an undeserved victory, and the story's going to continue, Mike.
Yeah, look, I'll put it to you this way. This was back in the late 80s, early 90s, when Paul Heyman was carrying that big brick cell phone thing or that computer or yep. Whatever it was that he was carrying at the time. Then I'd say, well, yeah, he's going to hand him the cell phone and have him hit. But you're right, there's have him hit him with the cell phone. But you're right, there is the story to tell. We still haven't gotten to the point where Solo leaves Roman. So, you know, that's going to happen. It's got to happen because Roman has got to be, for him, Roman to learn a lesson, he's got to be by himself for an extended period of time for him to learn the lesson.
No, you're right. And a lot, there are people who are saying this is when it's going to happen. Solo's going to turn on Roman. I think it's too quick. If they're going to do that, it might be like SummerSlam, and then Roman goes away for a while after SummerSlam. It might be something like that. I don't think it's going to happen at Money in the Bank. I just don't think it's a big enough pay-per-view. If they're going to have something big, big, big happen like that, number one, no offense to the people in the UK, it's going to happen in the States. Number two, it's going to happen at a major, major pay-per-view. It's not going to happen at Money in the Bank. So I think there might be a tease of it, but it's not going to happen. So I'm going to go with Roman and Solo in this one. I don't think they're going to have a clean victory, but I think they are going to have a victory. Todd, what's your thoughts?
I'm going to go with Roman and Solo as well. You know, something's going to happen in that match. The Usos are going to probably get screwed out of the match somehow by outside interference.
See, the thing is, people are saying, well, don't you think it would be great if Jay pinned Roman and then it's like, oh, Roman's got to face Jay? Yeah, but then, you know, you're just doing the camaraderie with the brothers. What are you going to do now? Oh, Jimmy's going to be like, well, I thought we were going to try to get our tag team titles back and be a team, and now you're going off on your own. You don't want that, right? You don't want that. What you want is a new bloodline forming, which means that Solo's got to abandon Roman's bloodline. Not going to happen this time. It will happen. I could foresee Roman and Solo winning through some devious means and having Roman drag one of the Usos into the corner for Solo to try to finish off and Solo refusing to do that, saying that's going too far. That's my brother. I think what you're going to see above any Jimmy and Jay is you're going to see Solo versus Roman. That's what I think you're going to see. I think the ultimate thing that the WWE wants is Solo versus Roman. That's why they're building Solo up to be so indestructible, because at some point Solo's going to say no to Roman, and Roman's going to try to intimidate him. If you notice, every time he talks down to Jay and Jimmy, they kind of bow their head and they, you're the bigger guy, you're the older guy, maybe I'll just, you know. Solo's not going to do that. See, that's the thing. I think that's what they're waiting for. So if that's what they're waiting for, it's just still more of the story to tell, and that's why I think the Usos won't win this time around. This is going to be a good Money in the Bank, though, because this is going to prove a lot of things. If LA Knight does not win Damian does not win, you've wasted your Money in the Bank. No one wants to see Ricochet win. No one wants to see Shinsuke win. No one wants to see Logan Paul win. No one wants to see Butch win. As much as I like Pete Dunne, no one wants to see that. Not going to lead anywhere. You've got to put that Money in the Bank briefcase in the hands of someone who the fans are just going to either hate so much that they say that son of a bitch is going to cash in and win and I can't stand it. That wouldn't be Damian, because you're trying to want to turn him face, right? LA Knight, they would cheer for him trying to cash that in. Every time he came down in an arena with a briefcase, fans would go nutso, even if it was just a bluff turn-in, right? You could bluff a zillion turn-ins. Now, I had somebody tell me he's going to turn it in on Austin Theory. I hope that's not the case. If he wins, they're saying that's the plan, Austin Theory. I hope that's not the case. I really, really, really hope that's not the case. Because I think Austin Theory without the title, I don't know. He sort of needs that title. I could foresee him cashing in on Gunther, because let's just say Gunther went through a long, hard match, and then the guy who lost bashes him in the head with a chair or something, or everybody gives him their finisher and he just lay in there. He could lose that belt that way, and you'd say, well, Gunther didn't exactly get pinned. I mean, anybody would have lost under those circumstances. So that might be one way to get the belt off Gunther if you wanted him to go for the major championship, Mike.
Absolutely. And, I mean, putting any belt around, well, maybe not Austin Theory's belt, because we know where Austin Theory's headed. Yeah, he's a heel now, but he's another one of these guys that in the not-too-distant future he's going to face. Probably in the not-too-distant future, you know. And so, you put that intercontinental, you do exactly what you said, and look, every time, I mean, not to the point of Dominic, but every time Kaiser speaks, it's almost like he can't get a word in because they boo him. He's over as a heel. I mean, put him. I don't believe in some verbal tete-a-tetes with LA Knight, and you got to go. You know, I mean that's what it is. He's the one that speaks for that group, right? Is Kaiser?
Yeah. See, this is the thing too. If you're going to do this. I remember in our own federation, we ran an angle where there was a street gang. And the street gang had just sort of invaded the federation. They were very vicious. They sneak attacked people. You know, they were coming up to people saying, you got something to say? You got something to say? Say it. And everybody was afraid to say anything. All the wrestlers that they were picking on were people who weren't going to say anything. And there was a heel called the Vigilante. And he was a loudmouth heel. A lot like L.A. Knight or Rowdy Roddy Piper, you know, always had some shit to say and wasn't afraid to say it. And the very first time they got in the ring and said, you got something to say, and that guy grabbed the microphone, the fans said, oh, shit. They've asked the wrong person now. They're going to get it. Well, that's what it would be with L.A. Knight, you know. Can you imagine him telling Kaiser off and Gunther? It would be funny. And fans would be like, and if they looked outraged and shocked and whatever, it would be funny. And the fans would pop. Same way with Dominic, though. Right? If he was to come out there and tell Dominic off and tell Rhea Ripley off, fans would pop. Huge pop. So you got a lot of options with LA Knight. Do, however, sadly see the point with this Austin Theory thing, because I do see there would be good promos there too. I just don't want it to happen because I think it's going to cut Austin Theory's push off at the knees, and I think that's a bad thing. Don't let it cut off somebody's vital push. But I can see that. I hate to say it, but the guy who told me when he said it, I said, oh dear. It makes sense on some levels, and I hope that's not what they're going to do because it's not going to end well for Austin Theory, and I don't know where you go from there. Gunther, we know where he goes from there, on to bigger and better things. We know Dominic will go on to bigger and better things. It won't hurt them. So I hope that's not the case, Mike, but I guess we'll wait and see.
And I still think they're making a mistake by not having Dominic and the Money in the Bank.
Oh, big mistake. Both Dominic and Cody should have been in there, Mike. You're absolutely right. There's no reason for Ricochet and Shinsuke Nakamura to be in it. Should have been Dominic and Cody. If you had Dominic, Cody, Damian Priest, L.A. Knight, Logan Paul, my God, that's very good. And you want to throw in Butch because he's a hometown boy, great, do it. Man, you'd have that's a hell of a Money in the Bank. And you could still have the same person win. It doesn't matter. You're absolutely correct. Dominic should have been in it because he would be the favorite to win it. Dominic with a briefcase is heat beyond heat. That's heat beyond all heat. That would probably even be better than LA Knight, but I think what they're thinking is Dominic's already over. He doesn't need the briefcase to be over. LA Knight with a briefcase is going to elevate him to superstar status, so that's probably true. Anyway, folks, enjoy it. We'll be back here on Sunday to tell you what happened and give you our opinions. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.